Happy Lord's Day.
Happy Lord's Day.
What a blessing to see each and every one. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we are grateful for whom we serve. And we are blessed because he has been so loving to us. All right. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Amen. Some of us may not understand or have an appreciation of that word lavished. I think of it when I have a banana split. You know it's good. And you know that when they put that little whipped cream topping on it, I'm just awestruck. Stop. That's not enough. Right? I want it to be, that whipped cream to be lavished on there. So where you don't even see the banana split no more. Right. So lavish. That's a unique word. Lavish means to give or expend something such as attention or resources readily and in large quantities. It often implies an extravagant amount of an extravagant or excessive amount of giving, according to Merriam-Webster. I think he got it right. Excess. Seems that is what we would all would like to have. Isn't it? What could we do to ever fall from a love like that? When God the Father has lavished love so greatly. What can we do to fall from a love like that? To fall from grace. To fall out of favor. Can it happen? Yes. I'm glad we all realize that. It is what God wants to do for everyone. He wants to not just love us, but do it so in a great way. He wants to lavish. Hey. Let's see here. Tom, forgive me.
I remembered. Ta-da!
Okay, 1 Corinthians 13. A lot of us probably know this by heart, hopefully by now. But if you like, please read with me the first part. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move all mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love is kind. That's like saying sugar is sweet. That is how sugar is known as sugar. Because sugar has the traits of being sweet. Kindness is much the same way. When you are kind to someone, you are showing a measure of love. Love is not rude. For example, who gets the last donut in your house? Who gets the last donut in your house? The answer could be, we both do, because it is split in two. Rude is when you receive the half and then you put it on a scale. That's rude. Kind of missed the point. But just an example, something for us to check ourselves. There we go. Okay, the last half of the 1 Corinthians 13, again, if you'd like, please read with me. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. There is a song long ago. You may have heard of it or maybe recall. Love is a many splendid thing. How true that is. How wonderful that is. When we get to experience love from God according to His magnificence and His all the levels that He has bestowed upon us, how beautiful and wondrous and splendid it truly is. In verse 7, I don't know if you can see it. When you always, there's no room for fails. Example, always putting on your seatbelt, then you will never fail to be in your seat when the vehicle crashes. It's that same principle. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Which one of those can you do without? Can you do without any one of those when you're trying to define love? Love changes things. Love motivates someone to do the impossible, to do the impractical, to do what no one else would do. And more often than not, there's not a lot of thought put into it. It just acts instinctively. For example, if you knew someone was in your house and it was burning, in the back room sleeping, you would not hesitate to bust down that door, break a window, do whatever you could to try to get them out. And it's been shown many times that when a car had fallen onto a child, the mother would reach up under the car and by the grace of God, pick it up just enough for the child to scoot out of there. You would do whatever it took, whatever it takes, no matter how long it may be. I think, to me, again, everyone have their own opinion, but the labor of love that it took, and granted, they had motivation for doing this, there's no doubt, but the labor of love it took Noah and his family to put that ark together. Ooh-wee. Some of us have problems just changing the oil. But love always trusts. If you leave any one of those out, you will be found lacking. You will be found lacking. It's like the missing that one penny that would make the dollar. But without the penny, you're lacking. It's not a dollar. No matter how hard you may try to rub the other pennies, rub the other quarters, rub the other dimes, you are still lacking. We need all of it to be complete. Ever lose that one last puzzle piece? Well, the puzzle's not complete, right? Until the last one is put in there. Then it's complete. Same with this idea. And again, we've heard this, and again, we need to be reminded. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful statement. Sounds like to me that God is demonstrating that love in a way where if the building's on fire, he's coming in to get you. Without hesitation. Are you convinced that God loves you that much? What will it take to convince you? Would it take a legal document declaring that you are an heir to his fortune? What about a promissory note? What about a love letter to convince you that God does love you? We have it. From Genesis to Revelation and everything in between, just like any other legal document, promissory note, scripture, all those other things, you must read it to comprehend all of the good that's been intended for you. You have to read it. We all do. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Some people need that reminder every day. We do. The reminder that God loves us so much, and he lavished upon it each of us greatly. But we need to be reminded. And what a blessing it is that we can be reminded. Faith, hope, and love. We see this word again. Hope. How important it is to help us understand love. God's love is offered. He has offered hope. Some say it's a package deal, if you will. Faith, hope, and love. But as the verse indicate, We must take hold of it. We must take hold of it. And hang on. We have it right here in the scriptures for us to take hold of it and hang on. Again, we are reminded when we just had our Lord's Supper and he asked us to remember him, when in actuality, he has always remembered us. And that's why he did what he did. And so, again, we're reminded in Scripture, you see, just at the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Verse 11, the last verse there, states an absolute truth. Once you have been baptized and become his heir, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we have reason to be happy. When was the last time you truly rejoiced knowing the fact that you yourself have been reconciled? What a difference that makes in God's eyes. In fact, it makes all the difference to be reconciled to him. I guess it would be something like when you have been diagnosed with cancer, then after treatment, you are found to be cancer-free. Most people would rejoice. And not only for a day, but every day. Those that are outside of Christ have a kind of cancer, if you will, that left unchecked and untreated will kill you. It's called sin. Jesus Christ is what we need to receive, the only treatment acceptable to remove all traces of sin. And again, that's by his blood. Oops, excuse me. Again, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Are you on the fence about God's intentions for you? Are you being double-minded? What some may have said about their condition, are you being hard-headed? Or better yet, hard-hearted. Do you believe or don't you believe in God's love? Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 states, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Christ our Savior offering. And again, to remember who he is, it states, I am the Lord. There is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. There should be no doubt that God is the only one that we should receive all glory and praise for who he is. There is no other, unless you make it that way. Who's in your heart? What's in your heart? Consider what the Lord says there. He's not joking. He is who he is. But God declares his compassion towards all of mankind. The rising and setting of the sun, the blessings of rain. Matthew 5, verse 45. Matthew 5, 45. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For his children who should know, the blessings of rain came from God. We know that. We should celebrate that and say, thank you, Lord. Now, for a lot of us, when the sun does not come out, well, it's always been out, but when we don't see the sun, it affects us. Physically, mentally, it affects us. So when I see the sun, I am grateful. I say, thank you, Lord, for all his blessings. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to the father, who hath begotten? What have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its maker. Concerning things to come, do you question me about my children, or give orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled the starry hosts. Again, a declaration of who God is. He is all powerful. He is holy. He is the only one that can do these things. We may not understand all that he has done, but do we really need to if we are convinced that he himself has done it? If he's done it, we say hallelujah. If he's going to do it, we say hallelujah. We say, Lord, thank you for your blessings in whatever measure he may bestow upon all of us, because he knows what's good for you. He knows that some young men in here don't need a Ferrari. No. Just need a little Volkswagen first. He knows what we need. But do we find ourselves stepping over the line concerning God and his compassion? Concerning God and his goodness? Concerning God himself? Do you step over the line and find yourself quarreling with God? Are you dissatisfied with what he has done? Or rather, shouldn't it be what you have done? If you be honest with yourself? Again, just a small reminder. I know this is a bad photo, but this is just one segment of the stars in the heavenly host. And again, as a reminder, pick any empty spot you see there, anyone. Supposedly they say it's empty. They took those high-powered telescopes they have nowadays, pointed in one of those empty spots, and they were literally blown away. There is more beyond that. How many stars do you see in this small segment of space, if you were to count? God knows. Do you believe it is hard for him to name each one? Correct. It is not. Psalm 147, verse 4 declares it. Psalm 147, 4. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. And then let's continue with verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Do you believe that he can handle your concerns? Certainly. If he can do that every day, he's got you. He's got you. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. He has already demonstrated his love toward us time and time again. Our opportunity to demonstrate our love towards him is provided every day. It's kind of like a saying, the Lord has blessed you, has gifted you with today. What you do with it is your gift to him. How is he glorified? Is he even glorified? Do we even take this time to say, thank you, Lord? The other day, we went grocery shopping. I know it's not one of the most popular things to do, but it's a necessity. And when we go to the grocery store, that's a blessing. You got to train your mind. Do it. How'd you get there? Another blessing. You walk in. Another blessing. Not to minimize what he has done, but to realize what you have because of what he has done. You go in the store. And there are shelves of food and groceries. A blessing. We know people now walking this earth who do not have that blessing. And the farmers who worked to produce it, thank you, Lord, for blessing them with the rain that they need. For the truck drivers to bring it from there to here. The blessings continue, because we receive them no matter what, in the measure that he sees fit. And we should all be saying with a grateful heart, thank you, Lord. The lady with the two mites who went to the temple, two mites, I don't think it was even worth one of our pennies, but it was low in value, but that wasn't the point. The point was her love in action to give what she had to the Lord, because she already knew, already has the hope of her tomorrow. She gave. Can we be like that? Yes, it can be done. You can do it. Live for Christ in a way that is pleasing to God, and Christ shows us that way. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful men, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. When you hear these verses, does James 1, 2, and 3 come to mind? Let me remind you. James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Yes, we all struggle from time to time with many different things. But again, as we brought to mind earlier, God is fully aware of it. It will do us good to remember Psalm 119, verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50. Where it states, my comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The psalmist understood who generates life, who gives life. And we can know God already has our future. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. He has truly lavished His children with the greatest love there ever is, Jesus Christ our Savior. It is because of Him that we have faith, hope, and the greatest of these is love. And finally, again, words of encouragement to help us continue to consider. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. That could be a lesson in and of itself right there. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Obviously, we need to become children of God to enjoy His blessings. Special blessings. Hear His word. Obey His word. Confess your sins and be baptized and follow His word as you live for Him. And now we're going to offer a song of encouragement for anyone who may need help with the prayers or want to share anything. And we ask you all to please consider that while we stand and sing the song of invitation.